We're up to Parashat Ki Teitse, which is one of the most encompassing parashas in the Torah. You have over 10% of the mitzvos of the Torah in our parasha, Parashat Ki Teitse. We will not explore every mitzvah in our parasha. We will only explore some of them, and in due time, you'll get to explore more of them. Many people here are encountering Parashat Ki Teitse for the first time, so I caution that there are certain things which, as you read, they will not resonate with you, and that's normal. There are mitzvos which, when you read, you say, "How does that work?" Give yourself time. There are mitzvos which should bother you, and with time, you will gain perspective on what's really going on. You don't understand things till you understand the details, right? The devil's in the details. I'm going to try to avoid the mitzvos which are going to be very sticky. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going into it. But you're welcome to revisit this class in a few years, and or we can explore it one-on-one. But again, it involves a lot of introductions in understanding Jewish philosophy and understanding the Torah's approach to things. We can't do it in such a class. So we're just going to stick to the mitzvos, which I hope will not get us stuck philosophically. We have a mitzvah in the Torah. Those of you who were here last semester know that we had a very important class about the idea that sometimes you have mitzvos which at your level can seem, at any person's level, can seem very immoral. A person can look at a mitzvah and say, "How could you tell me to do that?" And you have to wait and understand more, and with time, things can make sense. The fact that at first glance, things don't fall into place, well, that also makes sense. Things take time. So we have a mitzvah to bury people. And part of this mitzvah is the way we show value to a human being. You know, you have a cockroach crawling across the table. Done. But a human being is different. You know, the human being, I'm sorry, listeners. Imagine what that did to their ears. He's sitting on the subway and suddenly, bam. Okay. A human being is something different. So when we take the time to bury someone, we are showing kavod, amaze, respect to the deceased, kavod, a high respect to the living. We are also prohibited from deriving benefit from the deceased. That's one of the issues with studying medicine, that people experiment on human cadavers, and you're not supposed to use it for your own benefit. So how do you study medicine? Good question. But at any rate, we have to realize we're not supposed to derive benefit from it. The Torah was coming at a time where people would skin their dead and use them as carpets in their home. They would skin their dead and leave a skull in their home. They would use all kinds of parts of the dead. We have a prohibition from deriving any benefit. Not only don't we eat him as tonight's hamburger, we also, which some people did, we also don't derive any benefit. We don't cut his hair and fill our pillows with his hair. We don't say we are prohibited from having any benefit. Quite the contrary, we respect the deceased, we honor them, and we bring them to burial. And that is one of the most weighty mitzvahs that we have. Even the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, on the holiest day of the year, on Yom Kippur, if he were to encounter a body of the bum, the town drunk, and he's out in the desert for whatever reason, and he needs to be buried, and there's no one else who's going to do it, and even though if he's going to take care of it, he will not be able to perform the holiest duties of the year, we say, take care of that body and don't perform your duties. Because that respect, that human dignity, that we value the body even after it's done, that respect takes precedence. And this halacha teaches us the value of life, it teaches us the value of the body, the way we view the body as a tashmish mitzvah. The body was used for the performance of mitzvos. It's a tashmish kedusha. It was used for learning Torah, for doing holy mitzvos. And so even when the person passes away, we have to deal with the body with respect and we bury it. We have a mitzvah to bury it as soon as possible. Even a person who was executed by the courts, now you have to understand, in order to get the court's execution, a person had to be so wicked that they warned him a mere 3 seconds before he did it, that if you do that, you will get the death penalty by the courts. And there were two witnesses there who told him, "We will testify, we're watching, you will get the death penalty." And he says, "I don't care." So it didn't happen too frequently. I mean, even once in 70 years, you couldn't find a person getting the death penalty. But at any rate, even a person who was so wicked, he went ahead and did that. Still, the Torah says, watch out for his dignity. and bury him, and make sure to bury him right away. We don't leave the body hanging. Quite the contrary, we respect the deceased and we bury them. So that's one mitzvah in our parasha. Next, we have the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, returning a lost object. If you find someone's lost object, we have a special mitzvah to return it. This mitzvah includes when the person himself is lost. Meaning this includes the command. This commandment includes if someone's lost, then you help him find himself. So finding himself could mean he's lost in Chinatown and he needs to find the way. I use the example of Chinatown because I got lost in Chinatown and they wouldn't give me directions. They didn't even listen to me to stop and hear me. It was like I didn't exist. I was in Chinatown, and I asked people for directions, and they walked, so I thought Chinese have a hearing issue. Then I asked them if I could buy something, suddenly they could hear me very well. But when I asked them for directions, zero. I never knew such a culture exists. But the Torah gives us a mitzvah. We have a biblical mitzvah, someone's lost, to stop and give them directions. The custom here in Jerusalem is, if you can only afford the time, to take the person to the place. I was once looking for a matzah factory. We go matzah baking every so often. So I met an old Jew in Mea Shearim, and the guy's walking on his stick, and I ask him, how do I get to this matzah factory? So he says, okay, you come, and he walks me down one street, and he says, now you turn left, and he goes left with me down that street. And then he says, now you turn right, and he walks with me for 10 minutes as he takes me to the matzah bakery. And I said, what you doing? I'm sorry, you're an old man. Just tell me how to get there. He said, Minhag Yerushalayim, the Jerusalem custom is, if you can afford the time, you take him there. So the biblical mitzvah is given directions. If he's lost. Now, directions isn't only physically lost, it's also spiritually lost. When a person hasn't found himself, so there's a mitzvah to guide him. I can't take questions. We're very short on time. We have to condense an hour and a half into 10 minutes. So the next mitzvah is helping a person with the load. And this is a phenomenal mitzvah. A person has a load. His donkey can't get up, or he has to unload the donkey or load the donkey. So we have a mitzvah to help him load his donkey. You walk by, your neighbor has to load the donkey, so you have a mitzvah to help him. And the mitzvah here is to do kindness, to help him do it for free. And it's interesting, I when I'd have a neighbor walk by with a bunch of packages, so I'd often offer to help carry the packages. And the neighbor would say, no, Rabbi, I don't want you to carry the packages. And I'd say, if the Torah tells us to be concerned for an animal, your friend's animal needs help with the load, help him out. So then a human being is more important than an animal. And then, only recently, I noticed that Maimonides, when he discusses the mitzvah, says to help a person with the load on his animal or himself. Meaning Maimonides sticks that in. So I always said it as a fortiori, but Maimonides sticks it into the mitzvah itself. So the idea is to help your fellow man. Now, this mitzvah has an interesting detail. The Torah says, what happens if your friend is loading his animal and you come by and say, let me help you with that? So he says, great, thank you. And he sits back and opens a Coke and watches you work. Your mitzvah, I'm having my Coke. Enjoy your mitzvah. The Torah says, hakein takin imo. The mitzvah is to do it with him. If he sits back, so you say, okay, get me a Coke too. When you're ready, we'll work together. Mitzvah hakein takin imo. Work with him to help him load his donkey. So that's the mitzvah of te'ina. We also have a mitzvah of perika, to help him unload the animal suffering. So when we're unloading, then we do it for free. When we're loading, we can ask him to cover our costs, to cover our time. Loading the donkey, you could ask for payment for your time. Unloading the donkey, because the donkey is suffering while sitting under the load, you have to do it for free. Okay, next we have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Yes. What if he says he can't give you money? So if you did it, you have the mitzvah, but I don't have the sources in front of me. To the best of my recollection, you don't have to do it. We have the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. Very interesting mitzvah. The Torah says when you're taking the baby birds, don't do it in the mother's presence. Chase her away and then take the baby birds. And even if she comes flying back, chase her away again. And a second time, chase her away again. Don't take them together. And this is an idea which we see in many areas. The Torah says don't slaughter a parent and the child on the same day. If you're slaughtering a cow and its baby, don't do it on the same day. Don't do it... many different aspects of this same idea, a recurring theme throughout the Torah, that the Torah, so to speak, protects species. So that's, there might be part of the logic here, might be out of mercy for the parent. She shouldn't see when you take her children. Then we have the mitzvah of ma'akeh. The Torah says make a banister, meaning if you have a rooftop that you go and you use it every so often. So you have a mitzvah to make a railing. Now this mitzvah is not only about a railing, it's about any source of danger in a person's home. So I've had times where I was rushing out for davening or something, and suddenly I saw that one of the kids had pulled out a socket. Now, I could stand there and tell them, don't you dare go near that socket. But what do I have here? I have electric wires that are revealed. And so the Torah's mitzvah is you cannot leave a source of danger in your home. You cannot leave a ladder that is unstable that someone might fall off of in your home. You have to take away sources of danger. So I've had more than once that I did not go daven with the minyan I wanted to because I had to stay home to fix the sockets. And it took me time to figure out how to fix them in a way that I invented a way to fix them in a way that the kids can't pull them out of the socket. Little kids sometimes like stick their fingers, pull. And they're very strong. The regular screws they put to hold the socket in, my kids have overcome. So I've figured out a way of doing that. But in the beginning, I just would like tighten them and screw them in again. Here in Israel, by the way, the current is 220, like Europe, so it's really dangerous. Okay, we have the mitzvah of kiddushin, the first step of marriage, where the Torah says you have three ways in which a person can engage a woman. Biblically, they are married at that moment. A person can engage her with a legal document, he could engage her with something of monetary value, or he could engage her by being intimate. Now, today we do, under the chuppah, we do kiddushin. You give her the ring and you say, behold, you are engaged to me in accordance with our tradition. That's the kiddushin that we do. And then you finish it off with nisuin. But in ancient times, they would have a year in between. They'd have a year between the kiddushin and the nisuin. Now, one point you should know, this is a mitzvah to engage a woman. That's part of the steps of having children. So when you engage her, you first make a blessing. You have a cup of wine and you make a blessing over engagement. The rabbis saw that some people didn't know the blessing and they were illiterate and it would embarrass them to make the blessing out there. So the rabbi makes it on behalf of the chatan. In order not to embarrass those who didn't know how, we instituted that the rabbi always makes the blessing in place of the chatan. But the blessing that the rabbi is making over the wedding is your blessing. He's making it on your behalf. You're going to drink the wine afterwards, you and your wife. We have a special mitzvah about a person who speaks badly about his wife. Meaning, remember, in their days they'd get engaged, which legally, it's not our engagement today, legally they were married then. She was a married woman from their engagement period onward. And then a year later they would finish off the marriage and move in together. So he comes back after the wedding and says, she cheated on me. She wasn't a virgin and she cheated on me during this period, this year in between when we were technically married. She cheated on me. And then the courts verify, and he's a liar. He's given her a bad name. So aside from the tax and the punishment that he receives for what he did, the Torah says he may never divorce her against her consent. Today, you're never allowed to divorce any woman against her consent. But biblically, at that point, a motzi shemra, someone who put out a bad name for his wife, so the Torah says she's with him for life now. He could never divorce her. Obviously, if she wants out, she could. He's with her for life. She doesn't have to be with him for life. Same story with the person who raped the girl. It's up to her. If she wants, he's stuck. He must marry her. Up to her. She could say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. But if she says, hey, now no one's going to marry me. I want him as my husband. He has to support her. He has to treat her well. He has to stay with her his whole life. Aside from the taxes and the punishments he pays for what he did. We have many, many more mitzvot, but we're out of time. I tried to end on time. Okay.